Well, hey guys, thanks for sticking around. We are going to jump right into Q&A. So I'll start right off by putting the number on the screen, 360-447-8474. And so any questions you got milling around in your head there, send them in and we'll put PB on the spot. You ready to be spotted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
PB, I like that.
PB.
Yeah, and Jesus, PB&J.
PB&J. That's the new name of this podcast that we're just starting right now.
PB&J. Welcome to PB&J.
Oh, and R, that doesn't work.
No, I don't like that because then it gives
I'm
me top...
I'm sorry,
I
sit in my corner.
No, PB&J. It gives me top billing. I don't like that. J and PB.
Oh, yeah. You're both between the living bread. Doesn't work.
Okay, bye.
All right, okay.
Bye to that joke, I mean.
Text those questions in and just any admonishment you have for what we're doing right now. Great sermon. Loved it. I like everything about this. The sneaky woman revisiting. Just, I know. The vivid pictures you paint, Bruce.
It's put it in your head. It gets it in your head.
It's true. You know which one I really liked? The scripture. I like that you held back the Malachi scripture. Mm. And then finished
they're
it
leaping
with that
up.
Idea because it's 100% true, right? They all lined up the marketplace.
I mean, when you really pick, I've never pictured it to that degree.
Me neither.
You might have heard my voice crack a little bit when I was telling it. It was that meaningful to me, just picturing what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And it's a runway of disease and sickness. They place them. These are the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And he's going down. They're pleading, let us touch the hem because she did and it worked, but it only worked because it's scripture.
But we know now.
But
how
now
that
we
worked.
Know.
Yeah.
And so now it's this more organized chaos.
Yeah.
And behind him, they're healed.
Yeah.
And so they're leaping up and yeah.
Which goes to one proof. I like that.
And if I was Jesus, I would be running.
Yeah. I would just right,
be,
yeah.
I'd be swooping.
Well, the rest of that Malachi scripture was perfect, that they're leaping like calves in his wake. I mean, like, that's just such a...
Let out into the field.
How could it be anything less, right? Because you're jumping up and going, seriously,
like,
this
healed.
Is happening. Like, this is absolutely amazing. Okay.
In fact, after his resurrection, isn't it... Peter and somebody, they heal the guy. Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. Uh-huh. And his name, rise up and walk. And he went leaping and something and praising God.
Yes. So well, I think that's a natural reaction.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
Natural reaction.
Okay. Got a couple. First off, also, I'm just getting something from Kurt of Liz and Kurt, who are collecting the shoe boxes.
Okay.
You know, today, since today and tomorrow are our last 2 days to get those shoeboxes
mm-hmm,
in.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, even though we posted our OCC hours are 2 to 6 today, we have a crew at the church right now and are awaiting shoeboxes, so you can even...
Oh, you go right
go
now.
Just extend them. They're just getting there early.
Yeah, if you can't stand the Q&A, just...
That's right. So yeah, cool. Good to hear there. Also, just one for my sake, we just got one from Michael, I think, that says if anybody asks about his moose.
Oh, yeah, the moose.
Because he didn't text in last week.
Wanted to know about that. You notice he had the moose today.
Because we got a lot of questions.
We gave him a hard time because we said everyone wanted to know about the moose in Q&A, and you didn't respond. And he and Colin were up in Linden attending a church service to try and figure out some live stream stuff, so he wasn't...
Yes, and shout out to those guys. Very helpful. Awesome.
Yeah, and so...
He says, hey, reminder, it's from this show that he loved called The Get Along Gang, which my wife knew. I've never heard of it. But she was like, oh, The Get Along Gang. That's what that's from. And I went,
what? And when he was little, he had that stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. It was his favorite, and he lost it. And just recently, for one of his birthdays... His mom went on eBay and found one of those and gave it to him. And so that
And Michael specifically says, which is a subtle reminder for us all in the current political climate, to be the get-along gang.
Be the get-along gang.
That's what we should call ourselves. Okay. We got also here, we'll get to a few other questions later about live. Some people are asking about how we're going to do things. We're asking those questions
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's why we're having a council meeting on Tuesday night to look at the latest restrictions.
Right, and how we can do it most effectively, most fun, most...
Even if it comes down to where it's not... doable to have live people there on the 6th. We will still be doing church from the sanctuary. We're leaving the house. We're setting up the studio in the sanctuary so that we can do the live stream.
Yeah, worship today, you got to see a little sneak peek of how far they were coming, because that was back in the sanctuary and it looked great.
But now we can't have a band on Sunday morning.
Right, right.
And so we can't sing. So we'll see. We're just watching. But as of right now, we're tentatively planning on going forward with having people there. And
yes.
Trying to find whatever legal workarounds there are.
Down to the very last hour, we'll be changing and figuring it out, I am sure. Okay, I got some questions for you.
Okay.
Talking about prayer tones, because this is one of
Okay, first, I just want to say my apology at the beginning.
Yes.
I just want to tell you Q&Aers. Because there were questions coming in last week that I didn't understand. You know, well, shouldn't we pray for our country? I kept going, well, yeah. In hindsight, I realized that what you were asking was, isn't prayer to get God to do something? And you know, and so I hope that answered that. And my apologies for not understanding what you were asking, because of course you can't read my mind. And that was just worded so broadly. Prayer isn't to get God to do it. Well, in my head, I meant to force or manipulate him to do something that's not within his timing or will. And so, but now I get what you meant. And so, yes, of course.
Yes, okay. I know. I do love those generalities, those standalone. What did I today? I was like, click, turn off, because you said something that sounded very like.
Oh, I said, of course. I said, of course, Jesus didn't. He never had power.
Jesus never had power. Bruce, what are you saying?
I see Noah do this. It's like he's shutting it off.
And then I go, oh, because he is the power. You got to wait for it with Bruce sometimes, too. And he's like,
don't take that quote out.
Yeah.
But he didn't have power. He is the power.
Right.
Yours is the power and the glory.
And again, I love the analogy.
Didn't go out of him, but from.
Right, the power of love is the only, because you think, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, second law of thermodynamics, less power, entropy, it's just not that. Oh, but love, yeah, I get it. The more it goes out, the more there is, it grows in power. I thought that was an excellent analogy.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Couldn't specific prayer tones, because we were kind of talking about this one's near and dear to me, because it kept me old, cynical Noah. That was one of his things, the tones that you would hear in churches sometimes that just seemed false or insincere. But couldn't specific prayer tones or words be good by setting a formal or reverential tone? Too familiar, and won't we start seeing him as an equal or worse?
Yes. It's all about sincerity. And whatever the most sincere way for you to pray with that balancing act where he is Abba Father in heaven, that, you know, boy, I'm in heaven, you're on earth, let your words be few and reverent and full of awe.
Yeah.
But I'm also daddy. I'm daddy, dad, father. You know, and Jesus, that's why I've been calling him dad so much lately, is I feel like we've really gotten away from Jesus' insight that you're to cry out, Abba, daddy. You have to stop seeing him only, you know, as sir, but he's dad. And since I've been forcing myself to do that, it does change, you know, the words you use. And so you're making a wonderful point. The words you use set a tone, and they kind of, they have an influence.
Yeah.
And so you do want to make sure, even when I say dad, in my mind, you know, a lot of times, like when I close with prayer, it's Father God.
Right.
Because I want it a little more, I want to communicate the reverence. And so it is that balancing act that he is not our equal. We are a very junior partner. We're only partners at all because he wanted us. It's like when you say to your kid, hey, come help me out in the whatever, in the yard or I'm building some. You don't really want their help. It's for them and it's for the connection and the relationship. And so in that way, our dad wants to partner with us.
And you don't talk to your dad the same way you do your buddies at school. Like, we all know
that.
I think that is a good, like, line, because you don't talk in that same, you just want, it's like, no, you're dad. Like, there's a sort of decorum. You have this authority over me that I need to be mindful of when I'm addressing you. And so, it has to change a little bit. So,
see, I grew up in a fairly religious surrounding where it was not uncommon when we would pray for the prayer leader to take on King James language.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's straight from my past. Huh. And so, Lord, I mean, think of the Lord's Prayer. I still, in my head, want to pray
it that way.
I want to pray it King James.
Yeah, no, me too.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, when I say that, King James doesn't even sound foreign. That sounds normal. And so, but I was raised in a setting where that extended into prayer. So, okay, let's, you know, and you're talking, okay, let's pray. Oh, Father, thy bountiful hand is, and it created this environment where those of us who were younger were afraid to pray.
Oh, yeah.
Because we couldn't sound.
Yes.
Like you're supposed to when you pray, and it built up this idea that God expected this certain level of decorum in his presence that was really a negative overall. Well, the pendulum swings, and then in my late teen years, I went full Pentecostal. And in the Pentecostal world, there's like the opposite, but still the same thing. And I can still remember one fella that would always pray, "Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we come before," and then he would get done. He'd say, "So, what are we going to do tomorrow?" And it's like,
wow.
And it's like, yeah.
That's so interesting.
And so I've seen it from both sides, and it's like, look, he just, yes, this person is absolutely right that we there is a tone of reverence, and yet, relationship that each of us must balance out and communicate genuinely from our hearts.
Yeah.
But there is no room at all for pretense. Don't do a voice. Don't do a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, all those relationships. Friend, father, teacher, Lord. I mean, if just think of those and then don't violate that. Talk how you would.
Okay. Good point.
Beep, bop, boop. Yes. Seriously, is there a 21st century tallit for our culture, and shouldn't we use it?
Us a 21st century tallit?
Well, should we? I mean, because it's a good...
No.
What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's a nice idea to have and to just say, oh, I gotta pray. Shut out the world, get in there, you know.
I mean, for that purpose, yes.
But is that practical?
But here's the thing, if you're talking about the one that's commanded, we can't. It's the same way with, shouldn't we have the temple or the tabernacle and sacrifices? No, those were done away with. And to underscore that point and to fulfill scripture, God took what he calls the razor and scraped his rock clean, and not a single stone was left standing, because that age came to an end when it transferred to Christ. And oddly enough, that blue dye that was commanded, notice this, I bought this used from a synagogue because they have spares. It's kind of like bowling shoes at the bowling alley. they have tallits stacked in the synagogue so that when you go in, and so this was a very used tallit. And the seat.
Pre-COVID time.
The seat here, which are the knotted corners, the four knotted corners. Notice there's no blue. Or no blue on them. You go, well, then that violates that scripture.
Right.
Yes, it does. But do you know why? And it's in a nutshell. It's because that blue dye was also commanded, and there was a specific recipe for it and where it came from. And that was destroyed along with the temple in 70 AD. They don't know how to make it, and they don't want to just make something up. So they're waiting for some discovery someday, perhaps, when they can do it again. But what's so fascinating is that at the same time that God removed the temple, he removed their ability to have the portable tabernacle.
Hmm. That is interesting.
Yeah. In fact, one of the reasons you'll see the Hasidic Jews wearing black.
Right.
They're in mourning. That wasn't what they wore.
Right, right.
If you read the descriptions of what they wore in the temple, it's really colorful, white and lots of colors and royal blues. Right. And but now they were black because they're in mourning because they don't have the temple operating.
Yes, I still want my
21st century prayer shawl.
They make like hoodies that zip the hood all the way up to the top. That would kind of work that way too. And then just, we should make one, a His Place one. When you zip it up, it says, "Shh, I'm praying," like just on the hood there, so nobody bothers you. Look for it.
A prayer hood.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm with you. What is the significance of the pronoun moving from the singular you when talking about prayer in secret to plural pronouns throughout the rest of the passage?
Yeah.
Like yous? Yous guys.
Like our Father, mm-hmm. forgive us our. But when you pray to your Father. Because again, the prayer guide is given as a guide. It's
right.
That's why Jesus says, doesn't say pray these words. He says pray in this way. Mm-hmm. And so he's giving it to the group. So here's the guide, our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But he instructs them before that, but when you pray this thing I'm going to give you, you get in your private place, seal it up, and now it's between you and the Father and your secrets. Mm-hmm. And so you use this easy to remember mnemonic and you go through mm-hmm. and you personalize it. And that's what I was talking about. It's between you and the Father, you and Abba.
And so saying, like, you know, forgive us and our and everything is him communicating that to everybody to do individually. You don't think that we
I also think it's a reminder that he's not my personal God. Mm-hmm. That even though the relationship is personal, it's a really great way to balance it out. Our Father. It's not, he didn't say, hey, pray this way. Say, my Father, who art in heaven. He said, now pray our Father. You keep that in mind. But then, for heaven's sake, personalize it between you and him.
Right.
You know,
right,
forgive us our debts.
And on my part, that includes
and now,
this, and
that's where you tell him your secrets.
Right.
And so it's in every part of that, it's reminding us that we're part of a body, that we're not the eye can't say to the nose. And so we are to think of the body of Christ as individual relationships, but together one entity. And so it should be, you know, if your nose was going to pray, you would hope it would say us in referring to all the parts of the body.
Right, right.
Trying to keep that analogy going.
Gotcha, yeah, yeah.
So yes, good observation.
Couple of questions about, again, upcoming live service. Will there be pre-recorded worship music? We are still staying at home, says this person. And can sing with all our might in unison with all...
Yes, we will still have worship of some sort.
Yes. And this actually, there was another question somebody had. Let me see if I can... when the church opens on... Well, for starters, this person says, when the church opens on December 1st, not the 1st,
the 6th.
Will the sermon be recorded live? I am at high risk, so I need to wait. And I was asking if it'll be the same online as in church.
Yeah, it'll be the same online as in church, and that's what we're looking into right now. Excuse me. Because actually, we saw that I wouldn't have to wear a mask if we did some plexiglass, but then apparently plexiglass, you can't film through because of the glare for the thing.
And then we could also extend the spaces, like, dramatically.
So we're looking at the possibility of a pre-recorded message. Also, looking at the possibility of live from another room. So it's like in the mask. Okay, everybody, you ready for the sermon? Here, I'm going to be in the wing. Same thing with worship. Technically, I don't know if we can do it, but maybe live from the Ark, where it's just the band over there, or pre-recorded. So there will possibly be pre-recorded segments or live off the platform. We just have to see what all the rules are
right.
And legitimate ways of getting things done but working within the laws.
And whatever, but if you're at a high risk and you're staying home, you won't be missing anything. We're going to be showing the same thing. So you'll get to enjoy the same content.
Yep. Although the time will probably change.
If what?
Online. Yeah. Because online.
Right, good point.
Because if we've decided we have to do two services because of the number of you that has responded is great. So we would live stream the second service. So 9 and 11, we would live stream the 11 o'clock. And so that puts us a 1 hour different than currently. Yeah. And then we would have the Q&A after the 11 o'clock only. So people who wanted to go to the earlier one could still go home and still click on for the live Q&A. They wouldn't have to miss out on that. But we need all that time in between services to clean everything, get people out and clean.
Yeah.
And
put out all the fires that we're going to find out on that day. Got a few texts again from Kurt and Liz who were just giving us an update, which I thought was great, which it sounds like we're right on track to do what we did last year. So everybody came out and did a great job this last week.
Wow, good. Thank you.
So that is awesome. And
you probably don't know this, but Kurt and Liz, you know, it's a mammoth job because it's not just our church. We're a gathering center, a collection center. Whatcom County lost their collection center, so they just said, we're just going to let you guys have Whatcom County this year too.
Oh. At which Kurt and Liz went, ah, no problem. So they said, so please extend our thanks and appreciation to the His Place folks. Thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
Man, they've been awesome. It's so cool that they stepped up and that we get to do that. I think it's just one of the greatest things. Okay. Maybe in the same, do the restrictions allow for singing or Bruce preaching if doors are open to allow airflow in? No.
Nope.
Just so you know, we're looking for all those things. Is it, you know, doors open, drill a new window right behind them, whatever it is.
Humming.
We'll try and figure out.
I still think humming is allowed.
You think?
Yeah, because you have your mouth shut.
Well, but there's a mask singing over your mouth anyway in the singing.
I know, but singing's not allowed, but humming's through your nose.
I'm just saying the logic is already called into question, so I don't know if it's that.
Okay. I'm not singing. Maybe just one nostril.
You lead worship that way. Okay. Do you really think the sneaky woman took Jesus by surprise?
That is such a good question because the implications of that are incredible.
Right.
So either he was just acting like he didn't know, which some people thoroughly believe.
But that's an interesting precedent to set.
Or he actually didn't know, and that story is purposely in the Bible to let us know. You know, it's kind of like in Hebrews where it says, seriously, he was tempted like us in every way. Mm-hmm. And we go, well, not really, he's God. We go, remember, what John says is the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit is to say Jesus did not come in the flesh.
Right.
And to say Jesus did not come in the flesh is to counteract what it says in Hebrews, that he was made like us in every way. That he was tempted like us in every way. Or he was made like us in every way.
So coming in the flesh, asterisk, is not acceptable for that. Like, he came, but he wasn't really.
But we don't know the fine details of that.
Right.
So what all did he know in advance? You know, what did he choose? Because there's that whole thing about emptying himself of glory and becoming a servant, even to the point of death on a cross. And Luke talking about how he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God. How does God grow in wisdom and favor? He empties some out. He closes something off inside of himself when he comes, you know, as the Christ. So that, and Hebrews tells us, so that he could become a faithful high priest. How does God become something? Mm-hmm, he's everything. Mm-hmm. So there is so much debate about that. And I don't want to get in the that whole mess.
Yeah.
But this story just delights me in so many ways because I personally don't think Jesus is pretending.
Although we do have some, sometimes where he says he said this for their benefit, you know, might say something to be like, I'm going to walk you through this. Like, I know what's going on, but who touched me?
The way this story is told, there's no hint of that sort of thing going on.
No,
it really goes into detail about how he kept searching and the other gospels, that he wasn't going to stop. When she saw that he wasn't going to stop.
And the disciples are trying to be like, let it go, man. Like there's a lot of people here. There's right. a lot of people
now,
touching you.
I'm not against the idea that he was doing this because he wanted this woman to come forward. And so he was right. doing this thing. But also, there's nothing scripturally wrong with believing that this was one of the limitations he placed on himself, and that this person who knew this scripture, that there's going to be healing in his garment, in the fringe of his garment, went, so I believe he's the guy, and there's healing in the fringe, so all I have to do is touch the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does, and she's healed, and he says, your faith healed you.
And for all we know, like you said, this might be the opportune time. Sometimes it feels like this when you're reading the story, the gospel, is that he's looking for that time to go, I got to reveal this. Nobody's, and then this one, she did it. Who did it? You guys need to hear this. Because from this right. point on, like you said, hey, they're lining up. And he's like, we got to get there. So I need the first person to have that moment of like yeah. understanding what faith means in this situation. And so.
But either way, it wouldn't take away from the divinity of God. There's no theological problem that I can see in holding either of those views. Because one is, in this moment, Jesus knows exactly what's going on, but he's needing to communicate and have this, you know, pressure this woman into coming forward. In the other, it's just a limitation he has knowingly placed on himself, and power went out and he didn't know who did it.
Right.
And he's going to find out. And so nobody move. And it might be just as, you know, I like to have fun thoughts about how it could be worked out. It might just be, everyone stop. Okay. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. And it's like, oh, he's going to know. He's going to know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't you. How far did he get around before? She goes, okay, you don't miss me.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think I'd pipe up or I'd be like, it was me. Can you believe that just happened? Like, that was amazing. Because it is strange, too, that it feels like something that you would want to hide, right? Like that you
now,
did
when it
something
says,
you weren't supposed to do.
And when it says when she realized that that she couldn't remain hidden, it might be that she realized, I'm playing devil's advocate against myself. Mm-hmm. It might be that she realized that this guy knows, he knows, he's just giving me the chance.
Yeah. And then at that point, once again, I'd pipe up as fast as I could. So, back to, we're getting a lot of questions about the service. What about ushers taking offerings, et cetera?
There will not be ushers per se. We'll be using staff. Pastor John and
sheepdogs.
Sheepdogs. Pastor John and Pastor Nick are going to be our wardens. They're going to, because...
Oh, those two hard noses.
Yep,
yeah.
They're going to make sure that we're not coming within 6 feet of each other and that we're following the guidelines.
We
no
like
hugging,
a, like a
no handshaking.
Nerf gun or a spritz bottle. Be like, nope, not that to correct. We're going to...
You've seen in the news, things are surging again. And the last thing we want to do is have an outbreak at the church and
right.
kill someone.
Right.
Just
no.
to put it bluntly.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're figuring out. We'll be smart. Okay, I'm going to throw, again, I'll say last call here, get into question. If you want to get one, if you're sitting there and you have a question and you think about it, because I've talked to a few of you who said, yeah, I didn't want to send it in, though. Send it in.
Well, what I hate is when the question comes in, you know, we say, okay, bye, and then you go, oh, another one just came in, and it's a really good question.
Yeah, so always send them in. So, but this is your call to send those in right now. And where I usually ask you where you think we're going next week, because are we sticking with prayer going into the Thanksgiving, where you give thanks, where the most prayer's got to be done every year the country over, right?
Yes, well, I said we're going to be digging deeper into this portion, and I've talked about the Amidah prayer before,
yes.
which is so important to understand for the Lord's Prayer, because there was a formal prayer they were praying that Jesus abbreviates into the Lord's Prayer. And so today we talked about the two warnings, the two commands. Don't be like a hypocrite. Shut yourself up in that room, which I still love, shut yourself up. It's just a wonderful play on words. Maybe I'll call it shut up and pray.
Yeah.
But next Sunday, now we're going to dig deeper into that third warning, don't babble like pagans. And boy, we're really good. That's some great stuff in there. Yeah, Shut Up and Pray is a good title.
Well, then it'll write itself.
Because it's about not babbling.
Okay, here's what. Does our eternal life start the moment we give our lives back to God and ask Jesus to enter our hearts, filling us with his love as we grow in faith and embark on learning to trust his will for our life on earth? It's a yes or no question, I guess.
I don't know. It says he knew us before we were born, before we were knit together in our mother's womb. So technically, when did your eternal... Because if you're saying... Of course, there is where your agreement sealed it, where you chose to do the thing that your eternity hinges on. But he always knew you were going to, and from the moment you were born, you're not now going to not have eternal life because you're going to make that decision that he knows about. So I guess technically, your eternal life begins when you could say your eternal life or your eternal damnation begins the moment you're born. But there comes a point in your life where you and your free will is the determining factor if your life has been leading up to one of those two places, which place it's led up to. What's that saying about, for some, this is the closest to hell? For the believer,
right.
This
right.
is the closest, your lifetime here, it's the closest to hell you'll ever get, which is why I have a say, pretty good for down here.
Right.
You know, because for the believer, this is the closest to hell you're ever going to get. For the unbeliever, it's the closest to heaven that you're ever going to get.
Right.
Both eternities begin at birth, but are decided by our free will at some point in time.
Yeah, because that eternal life starting, because it is one of those ones that is, Jesus is very finicky in the way that he uses life and death and sleeping and awake and when, I mean, and the Old Testament as well. I mean, sleeping with your ancestors, death.
I mean, he's asleep. You know, she's not dead, she's sleeping.
Right, yeah.
And then you get the epistles involved and Paul, and all of a sudden there's, you need to die to sin, or you're dead in sin. Awake, awake, O sinner, rise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you. You just die to self, kill the old man.
I mean, we all, we're raised to eternal life. I had that question a lot with youth when we're just doing like a Bible study or something.
But when are we raised? Because do
question.
You not know that you're already seated on the throne with Christ? It says in the epistles that you've already been raised with him in life. It's baptism is taking part in the death of Christ and then rising up from the waters, it says. It's like rising with. So that's, you know, that would go more toward the... when you've made that decision, you've risen from the dead.
Yeah, speaking of the where he says those conspicuous, I'm saying this for their benefit. Isn't that one of them is when it's the Lazarus story and he says, he's not, does he say he is dead or is not dead? And they go, no, Jesus. And he goes, I'm saying it. Okay, listen,
no, it's
for
when
their
he, it's
benefit.
When he calls on the Father and he talks to God and he says... I forget exactly what he says, but he says, and of course I know this, but I'm saying it
for their benefit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of clarification. Okay.
We got to go.
Okay, well, all right. Oh, just...
What?
Well, I don't know. We just have a then what about John 17:3.
What's it say?
I can tell you.
I don't have every chapter verse memorized.
No. You don't?
No.
Oh, that's a letdown.
I don't waste... I don't waste any time trying to memorize chapter and verse numbers. I just get the words in.
Oh, this is the... And this is eternal life, that you may know you... That they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal
life. I like that. I like that they may know you. So when you truly know him, eternal life has begun, people.
Right. Hey, I think that's from Pastor Nono.
Oh, good. Good catch. Find, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Way to go, no.
I think that's a good spot. I think we got a lot. There's a lot of questions, like I said, kind of in the same area. So if I didn't get to a question, I hope we covered a lot of that. And a lot of them are curious about the sixth. So are we. But like we said, stay tuned. We'll let you know as soon as we do. But we'll make it fun. We'll do whatever we can, and we'll do it the best we can. And no matter what, we're gonna keep moving forward. That's what we do. So love you guys. Miss you guys. Get those boxes in. Today and tomorrow are the last times to get those Christmas child boxes in. And you guys are doing a great job because I love our church. Our church is full of so many incredible people, and we miss you, and we can't wait to see you.
Saw a bunch of you out there yesterday handing out the food.
How awesome.
And,
you guys are great. You guys are totally great. So we'll see you soon. Until then.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I didn't get to jinx you back.
No.
We'll see you.
Love y'all.